Turn your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll be reading verses 19 through verse 25. Proverbs chapter 23. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Proverbs 23, 19 through 25. I'll read the odd verses. If you'll join with me on the evens this morning of Proverbs chapter 23, beginning verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father, begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And let's pray this morning. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, it has been such a joy to be in this place this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help prepare our hearts for the message and pour fresh oil upon the speaker this morning. Give us a great day. We'll thank you so much for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm right, very good. Thank you, folks, for that good song this morning. Sometimes I have a title that I consider catchy. This one is not. In fact, I had a sermon, but I had no title. I'd rather have a sermon with no title than a title with no sermon. But I'm going to speak on moms and kids this morning. How's that sound, okay? Moms and kids, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for this occasion. Bless our thoughts today. And bless your word to our hearts. Help us to, Lord, apply it. May the Holy Ghost have access to take your word and apply it to our need this morning, whatever it may be, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, it's been a good service. Thank you for the privilege to have guests here today and people that are in visiting for Mother's Day. And they are faithful members. What a blessing. Help us today, and may this time be well spent, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. I have said a couple of times already, but having a day on the calendar every year to honor moms is a very worthwhile idea. And in learning about the origin of Mother's Day, I'd been privy to some of it, but I went a little deeper this year, and I ran across something very, very interesting piece of information about the origin of Mother's Day. I'll share with you. This day has roots back to some years before the Civil War. The lady's name was Ann Reeves Jarvis. She was from West Virginia. And before the Civil War started, she had a Mother's Day work club. And the purpose of Mother's Day work club was for the ladies to get together, the older ladies to get together, and teach the local women in the area there how to properly care for their children, which, by the way, is a very biblical premise. The Bible makes it clear that the older women should teach the younger. There's a lot of ladies here who have children who are now grown and married and living for the Lord. You mothers that are just newborn babes in your home for the first time, you could learn a lot from them. Spend a little time with them. Take them out for coffee or tea or something and ask them questions. And so that's what she did. In 1868, she organized Mother's Friendship Day. So now the Civil War is over. And she brought together former Union and Confederate soldiers along with their moms together for the purpose of reconciliation. West Virginia was one of those states where you had a lot of the men that went both directions in the Civil War. Some went to the Union, some went to the Confederacy. And so you had some, you know, you had some situations developing there that needed attention for reconciliation. Now, Ann Jarvis had a daughter by the name of Anna. Okay, and this Ann had a daughter by the name of Anna. Ann died. Mom died in 1905, and Anna, the daughter, thought of the concept of Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices that mothers made for their children. And she had this idea. She was having a hard time getting it off the ground until she got financial backing from a Philadelphia department store owner by the name of John Wanamaker. John Wanamaker. Now, John Wanamaker, he owned a bunch of retail stores in the Philadelphia area, and he got behind her idea financially, and in May of 1908, she organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at a church in Grafton, West Virginia. Wanamaker, either on that same day or the next weekend or something, he had one of his retail stores that had a large auditorium, a 5,000-seat auditorium on one of the floors of their retail store there in Philly. And they had a special Mother's Day celebration on a Sunday afternoon. The 5,000-seat auditorium was filled to capacity, and another 15,000 people tried to get in. It was an absolute tremendous success. Now, the cool thing, in my opinion, about this is that John Wanamaker was one of D.L. Moody's close associates. John Wanamaker was a businessman. He's not a preacher. He was a businessman who supported Moody's work in Chicago, up here where the Moody Church is now. Moody Bible Institute. That's before it was Moody Bible Institute, okay? But the Moody Church was in existence. In fact, when the Great Chicago Fire took place in 1871, Moody went to, after his house was destroyed, their church building was destroyed, and Moody went on a trip out east, stopped at Philadelphia, and John Wanamaker took Moody around from business to business and helped solicit financial aid to rebuild the church. Then he went on from Philadelphia to New York City, D.L. Moody did. And John Wanamaker was a businessman in Philly who was a close associate who financially supported D.L. Moody's work. It's interesting to me that a Christian businessman was involved in the origin of a day set aside to honor mothers. I'm going to tell you why it's interesting, friend, because Christianity always elevates females. Now, because we believe in divine order, and because we believe the Bible has a divine order where men are to lead, we are sometimes accused, Christianity is sometimes accused of being Neanderthal, caveman-like mentality that just attempts to squash women. The opposite is true. Christianity always elevates a woman. The principles of Christianity do not squash women. They free women in order to serve the Lord and serve their husbands and children and so forth, whatever they're doing in life. And this Christian, what a legacy for a Christian businessman to leave behind. Without John Wanamaker's finances, Mom's Day, Mother's Day may never have gotten off the ground. And so moms, you know, I'm glad we have today. You are worth honoring. And as simple as it may sound, happy Mother's Day to all of you. That's kind of the origin of Mother's Day. Now, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. Proverbs is a book that God used Solomon to write. Throughout the book, there are several verses that mention mothers and children, mothers and kids relationship. Now, I want to make a mention of a couple of truths from the passage that we just read here with Brother Bragg a moment ago, Proverbs 23, verses 19 through 25. I'll even refer to some verses at the end of the chapter in just a little bit. Just a couple of things I want to say. This is very light this morning, and it's not real homiletically organized. But these are things that God laid on my heart to say this morning for moms about moms and kids. Listen, number one, very little else brings joy to a mother's heart like a wise child does. Very little else brings joy to a mother's heart like a wise child does. Look at verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Drop down to verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Again, very little else brings joy to a mother's heart like a wise child does. We said, Brother Angel, that a wise child is the only person who can bring joy to a mother's heart. No, I didn't say that. But I said very little else has the potential to bring the same joy to a mother's heart like a wise child does. A wise child. Now, if God gives a woman the privilege of birthing a child, that child carries the greatest potential to make or break mom's heart. Now, in the case of a woman who never births a child, there are absolutely other ways for her to receive joy. Amazing thing. Anna Jarvis, who was the daughter of Ann Jarvis, who kind of got the idea for Mother's Day, she never married, never had children. Never married, never had children. But she was the one who, with John Wanamaker's financial blessing, actually got the whole concept of Mother's Day off the ground. And by the way, toward the end of her life, she was disturbed at all the commercialization of Mother's Day. She was more in it for the love and the spirit than she was the cards and the flowers and the chocolate and the food. But you're in it for both. Amen? I understand. That's fine, okay? I'm with you for a while, okay? That's not a problem, all right? But that's an interesting thing about her. If God gives a woman a child, very little else in that woman's life has the potential to make or break her heart like the child does. All of us who still have living mothers on this side of the grave need to remember that truth. If you have a mom living on this side of the grave, she's a Christian, you're a Christian, you have great potential to bring to your mother's heart great joy. You know, there has been something take place in the last several years, maybe 2 to 3 decades in the world that was predicted in the Bible. Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, God prophesied twice that times would come, listen to this, when people would be without, listen to these words, without natural affection. Without natural affection. It is natural for a man to have affection for a woman. It is natural for a woman to have affection for a man in a marriage relationship. Everything else that's going on is not natural. Not natural. Stamp it all you want to stamp it. Call it what you want to call it. It's not natural. But now, wait a minute. There is nothing more natural also than for a mother to love and care for and adore her children. Nothing more natural than that. There is nothing more unnatural than for a woman to not love and not care for her children. But listen, God said there's going to come a day in society when people are going to be without natural affection. And today our American society is filled with women who use their ability to birth a child for selfish reasons only. Purely the result of pleasure seeking or pleasurable moment of gratification. And then the child is left to themselves, sometimes malnourished, sometimes not taught or trained, sometimes dirty and not loved. And I want to tell you something, folks, there's nothing more unnatural than that. You know what that's the result of? That's the result of a sin-cursed world. That's the result of depravity and sinfulness and the fact that sin becomes more prevalent and more dominant in the last years before Jesus comes, which is where we believe we are living right now. We believe that Jesus could come back to this earth at any moment. We are living in the days right prior to His coming. And so this unnatural affection, you're going to see more and more of it in our world. I'll promise you, there's been everybody who's ever read a news article about some baby being abandoned on a doorstep or thrown in a trash can, to the natural mother's heart, that just kills you. You can't conceive of that. You have no idea how in the world that could even take place. Who could even think something like that? That's because natural affection, okay? That's natural affection. I dare say that the vast majority of people in the room today had moms who were very natural in their love for you and me and in their care for you and me. I had a mom who was a very natural mother. She loved us. She cared for us. She doted on us. I mean, she whooped us. And I said it right, whooped. It was not a spanking. It was a whooping. And mom could dish one out about as good as dad. In fact, we almost rather would get one from dad than from mom sometimes. I mean, tell you, we gave her a great occasion anyway to do that, us three boys. But the truth is, folks, our lives, now look, if you have a mom, she is still on this side of the grave. She's still alive on planet Earth today. If you have a mom, your life, my life, no matter the age. You say, well, you're right, Pastor. Those little 8 and 12 and 16-year-old kids really do bring joy or heartache to their mother's hearts. And so do 57 and 65. Yes, they do. So do 40-year-olds. So do 30-year-old. Doesn't matter what age. Doesn't matter if your mom is still living on this side of the grave. She is alive and well on planet Earth, maybe in a nursing home somewhere. Maybe she doesn't have all of her mental capacity or even her physical capacity, but she still knows you as son or daughter. I don't care how old you are. Your life still has the potential to bring your mom's heart great joy or great heartache. And a wise child always seeks to bring the heart of their mother joy. The wise child always seeks to bring the heart of... I visited this week a lady who's 89 years of age. 89, she asked me sitting there, she said, how old do you think I am? Boy, that's a tough question, man. That really, I always guess young. I mean, on the bad occasion when I shoot over by 5 or 6 years, you know, if you shoot young, well, I'm so-and-so, you get, well, you don't look your age. But if you shoot over, what are you going to say? So she said to me, how old do you think I am? And I said, you know what? And before I could even answer, I said, ma'am, I really don't know. She said, I'm 89. I said, well, you don't look 89. And she didn't. She's 89 years of age. She had 3 children. She had 2 sons and a daughter. One of her sons died premature. I mean, any death before mom or dad dies is premature. She had to bury a son. And her daughter's been sick. ongoing health problems and not doing well. And her other son just had to resign his position because he'd got some health issues. And here's this 89-year-old woman sitting on the couch, me just a few feet away from her in this chair, visiting with her. And it was very obvious to me that the heart of this 89-year-old woman, whose son is 67, and whose daughter is just a few years older than him. Here they are at 67, 69, something like that. They're 65, something in that range. These two adults who are senior citizens themselves still have the potential to make mom's heart happy or sad. Still. Is your mom on this side of the grave? Is she living today? You have the potential more than anybody else as her child. If you have siblings, you and your siblings, y'all have the potential. I have the potential. There is a heart of a lady down in Clermont, Florida this morning, and her heart is today, as she's 75 and I'm 57. She had me when she was 18. Her heart is made happy or sad today based on if I'm wise or not, if I make the right choices or not. I'm just simply saying, if we have a mother living on this side of the grave, we need to remember their hearts are affected by how we live. And children, and when I say kids, I'm talking about children of any age, children of any age, who make wise and right choices, who live according to the principles of God's Word, who are honest and hardworking and self-dependent, they bring much gladness and joy to mom's heart. And you know what? It doesn't matter to mom if you're blue-collar, white-collar, management, laborer, college degree, postgraduate degree, just a high school degree. It's how you're living. Are you making right choices? Are you living according to the Word of God? Mom's heart swells with joy if we live wisely, no matter what we're doing in life. It's interesting to me that in more than one passage about mothers in Proverbs, there is a warning to sons, to children, sons especially, listen to this, about strange women and alcohol. Isn't that funny? More than once, when it's talking about mothers and especially their sons, there's a warning about strange women and alcohol. You see it in verse 26. She said, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. And you can read on verses 29 through the end of the chapter. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And here's why the warning about strange women and alcohol go together. Look at verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Drunkenness and sexual misbehavior can go hand in hand. Hand in glove. Isn't that interesting? So anyway, this is more than one time in the Bible where God brings this up. He's saying to the children, keep yourselves right. Keep yourself from these things that can ruin your life. Wait a minute, watch it. Not just for your sake, but you got a mother. You got a mom. Look, mom doesn't want to hit age 60 and hear that her 38-year-old son got drunk and went off with another woman. Mom doesn't want to be age 89 and hear that her 67, okay, he had to resign from his vocation because of his health issues. Thank God he didn't have to resign because of his immoral issues. Or immoral issues. Well, folks, you know what? There's more to life than just me. And there's more to life than just you. We got a mother. She's still living on this side of the grave. My goodness. Make wise choices. Make mom's heart happy. because very little else can bring joy to a mom's heart like a wise child does. All of you teenagers, you young men and you young ladies, all you teenagers, all your children, you're not exempt from this either. Nothing makes mom's heart so happy and glad and swell with joy than a young person who makes right choices and lives right and lives wisely. You say, well, that's my life. I'll do what I want. You got a big problem. You wouldn't even have life. Big shot? You wouldn't even have life. If it wasn't for your mother. I'm an old man. Yeah, well, how were you doing at 3 months of age when you filled your diaper? How were you doing then? I know you crawled over to the Pampers box and changed yourself, right? Say, man, you're being a little bit close to the fence, but it's reality. You wouldn't get out of a dirty diaper without mom. Amen, that's true. It's all right, folks, we can breathe. All right, it's reality. Okay? I'm just saying, yeah, I'll just do my own. I don't care. It's my life. I'll live it like I want. You got an eye problem. Big issue. Very little else brings joy to a mom's heart like a wise child does. Oh, my goodness. I got to go. Let me give you the second thing this morning. Someday, the second thing that came to my mind out of this passage, someday the tables will turn. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. When a child is, do you understand how very helpless, I just kind of referred to this now. You understand how very helpless a child is when they're born? Rush Rock, you grew up on the farm, right? Cows. I went to make a visit on a farmer years ago. He wasn't home when I was, he lived down in the down a gravel road in Iowa, out there in the country where I was. I drove down the hill and to his place, knocked on his door, and he wasn't home. And then I was driving out. And I just happened to glance over to the pasture, and here is a cow, probably 20 feet from the fence, from the edge of the road, giving birth to a calf. I stopped. I watched that cow give birth to that calf. Amazing. And do you know that after she gave birth to that calf, laying on the ground on her side, after she gave birth to that calf, Brother Dave, she stood up and walked a few feet away. And I watched that little calf struggle, and it finally got up on all its four legs, just barely there, and you know, then he just kind of wobbled over to where she was standing, and then she began to lick on him, began to clean him. You know, it was unbelievable that that little calf could get up and make it a few feet to where its mother was. Try that with a human. A human's helpless. They're hungry, they're helpless. They can't, they're dirty, they need to be changed. A human is absolutely helpless. The most helpless, if you will, of all offspring is a human baby. Mom spends night and day and night taking care of a baby of an infant. The child grows, there's teaching, there's training. Watch it now. Mom has, you know, much time, much energy, much work, much input involved in the life of a child. And eventually, the day comes when the child is grown and the child is married and the child is established and the child is working and in their own relationship with a spouse and children of their own. They're on their own. And, you know, for several years, the child and mom both still have good health. And child and mom are able to get along in life, and then the day comes. If mom lives long enough, where she becomes helpless. And she needs help. The tables are turned. And Solomon said, in verse number 22, despise not thy mother when she is old. That's not in there by accident, folks. And look, I would never make a judgment call on you know what's right or wrong about nursing homes. I will never make a judgment call. Both of my grandmothers ended up in a nursing home and passed away from the nursing home, but it was when all else had been exhausted. All else had been exhausted. And even when they were in the nursing home, my parents went by to see their mothers often. I'm not here to make any kind of judgment on if your mom or dad is in a nursing home this morning. I'm just saying, don't forget mom. Don't put her at a home somewhere and never see her. It's interesting that in most cases, not all, but in most cases, the husband will die before the wife. In 1990, the U.S. Census, they found out that 49% of women are widowed after age 65, while only 14% of men are widowed after age 65. That's a pretty big, that's almost three times. So women are three times more likely to outlive their husband. Three times more likely. Very rare for a man to outlive his wife. So that's why maybe God put in here, despise not thy mother when she is old. Dad's going to go. Mom needs you. Where does she live this morning? Does she have her own house? Is she still able to be at home? Can you get to see her? Is she in the nursing home? Can you call her? Can you do something special for her? Where's mom today? If she's on this side of the grave, she's still living. You have contact? Regularly. You see her, you call her, you do some special things for her. Have you talked to her yet today? Best thing for me to do on Mother's Day with a busy Sunday is call first thing in the morning. That's what I did, and I called Mom before she went to church. Told her Happy Mother's Day. When at all possible, if at all possible, care for Mom when she is old. You know, it's interesting to me, folks, and I have in my sphere of ministry, you have opportunity to sit with widows often, nursing home or a house. It's unbelievable how many times you say to them, how are you doing? And one of the first things that comes out of their mouth is something about, oh, my daughter called me yesterday. My son is coming to see me today. My kids are coming over later this week. One of the first things out of coincidence? Coincidence? I don't know. Mom's heart is still wrapped up in that child. Still. That's natural. And God said, someday the tables are going to turn. When you were little, an infant, you were the most helpless of all offspring. Mom had to care for you and love you and nurse you and raise you and change you and... And now the tables are turned and you have health and mom doesn't. Don't forget about her. Don't forget about her. Mom alive today? Is your mom on this side of the grave, on this side of eternity? Very little else can bring joy to her heart like a wise child. And if the tables have turned, where one time you needed her constant care and attention and now she needs yours, it may not can be constant, but it can happen. You can be there for mom. Amen. We're talking about Christian living, folks. Christian living. And then let me say this in closing this morning. If mom still lives and is unsaved, be certain to witness to her. Tell her about Jesus Christ. And let me say to any mom or any person here this morning, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, anybody in the room, you're not sure you are going to heaven when you die. That is the most important matter to get settled now. And there's a reason for that. Because once death comes, it cannot be changed. So now's the time to deal with it. Is mom unsaved? Tell her about Christ. Tell her about salvation. most of the songs this morning, it was amazing to me, were about the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. Tell her about the Lord Jesus. Tell her about Christ. Tell her how she can know that she's going to heaven when she dies. You know, I had the opportunity, we were out visiting and had the opportunity to visit with a person yesterday and asked about, you know, heaven, eternity. And of course, the person, well, I hope that's where I'm going. And right away, I said, did you know that the Bible says you can know? The Bible says you can know. You know, folks, look, hey, we can hope that it doesn't rain. And if it does, we'll get along with it. We can hope that our favorite sports teams, that we can hope that the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. If they don't, we'll be okay, except for Ryan Harrison, let the bury Ryan, amen. But we can hope that this happens, and if it doesn't, yeah, okay. But if we hope, we're going to heaven and leave this world unprepared. Eternity is a long time. So if you're not saved, mom, dad, teenager, boy, girl, if you're not saved. Oh, and the end of the story was that person bowed their head and trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior yesterday. It's a blessed visit. Blessed time. Wonderful time of sharing the gospel story. You may wonder, you know, I come to this Baptist church once in a while. People stand up. And you got guys down here at the front. You know, this is routine for us. But you know, some people come and they say, what's this all about? I used to a Baptist church. What are the guys doing standing at the front down here? So people come down and get talked to. We give people at the close of every service, we give people the opportunity to be saved. To nail it down so that you can know you're on your way to heaven. These guys aren't down here to shake you down. They're here if you come forward and say, look, I'm not saved. Or I don't know that I'm saved. Then they can direct you to a lady who's, if you're a lady, they'll direct you to a lady who's going to take a Bible, show you how to be saved. If you're a man or a boy, they'll direct you to a man who's going to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Because hear me, the Scripture says that you can K-N-O-W. No. I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot better than hope. You can know that you're saved. Mom's still living today on this side of the grave. Make wise choices, right choices. You'll make her heart happy. The tables may be turned someday. Don't forget her. And above all, tell her the gospel story. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, we are glad to have Mother's Day. Thank you for this good day. Beautiful day outside and happy day inside. Thank you, God, for every mother here this morning and for the privilege to preach a little bit from your word about principles involving moms and their children. Speak to our hearts today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but one is looking. This is that invitation time I was telling you about. Let me just ask you a couple questions today. Who would say, Pastor, at some point during the message, and this message on moms and kids, something was said that spoke to my heart. I'm glad you preached on it. I needed to hear it. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I just want to raise my hand and say, God spoke to me this morning in a specific way. Would you raise your hand, please? Wherever you're sitting this morning, God bless you. That's wonderful. Thank you for taking your hands down. Now, let me ask this question. Who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I would spend eternity. I'm on my way to heaven, and I just don't hope it. I know it. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? If that's you this morning, you know that for certain. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate it. Is there somebody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I don't know for sure. I don't know. I thought hoping was good enough. But if I can know, my goodness, I'd like to understand that. I don't know if I'm saved. You just raise your hand, okay? Just raise it up in the air. I'm going to pray for you. Ask God to help you. Find out and know how to be saved. Anybody like that here today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody here today would say, Pastor, I have been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. God bless you. Came this morning to obey the Lord in baptism, you can come right now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. You'll have a man and his wife help you get ready for the baptistry. That's wonderful. Anybody else? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Mother's Day. Bless the preaching of your word this morning. Help those of us whose mothers are living on this side of eternity. Help us to make wise and right choices. Help us to honor them. Help us, Lord, to turn the tables someday if necessary and help them and be to them what they need. Father, thank you for heaven and for the Lord Jesus who gave himself for us. Bless today's message to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.